This is something that the Lord quickened me to minister today. Some of you may have heard this, and some of you may have not, but I believe we're in a prophetic season and a prophetic shift. You preach something for the first time, you think it's going to happen then. And then, like when God comes to Abraham, he tells him, you're going to be a father of many nations. 25 years later, he manifests the promise. Well, a lot of times God will give you things and you think it's going to happen then, but it's for another season, another time. But I believe we're entering into the age of demonstration now. And I believe there's going to be multiple demonstrations coming to the body of Christ. And I want to speak to you today about this prophetic shift from Nazareth to Capernaum. So if you will, turn your Bible to Luke chapter 4. This was a very prophetic shift even for the Lord Jesus. He was raised and he grew up in Nazareth. That's where he was raised. That's where the familiarity was. Now, Luke chapter 4 was right after he went to the River Jordan. He was baptized and the Father ordained him coming up out of that water. He came up out of that water covered in the water and the Father ordained him. He says, this is my heir, basically. This is my beloved son. Hear you him. He goes, he's now my spokesperson in the earth. And he shifted the whole priesthood right there, right at the River Jordan. He goes to be tempted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he comes back into Nazareth to bear testimony of his birth and the anointing that comes upon him. Now, he had been in the temple, and it was his custom to go into the temple on a weekly basis and minister. This wasn't the first time he got up and opened the scrolls, but it was the first time he opened the scrolls and the anointing was upon him. I mean, the anointing, his God-ordained mantle, the Father had already put it on him when he came up out of Jordan. And then he comes up and says, now, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And there was a whole other anointing upon him. I mean, you know, you can preach the same thing, but when that anointing comes, it changes everything. Hallelujah. Forever. Verse 16, Luke 4, he said, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, many, many, many times he read in the temple. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for the read. It was his custom to do so. Could you imagine the Son of God reading in the temple weekly on the Sabbath day and nobody knew he was a Son of God? See, nobody knows who you are until the anointing comes upon you. It wasn't until the anointing came upon him. When that anointing is, who is this? He'd been reading and they were all relating to his humanity once that anointing come upon him. And look at verse 18. Said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me now, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery the sight of the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. Jesus himself preached weekly in the temple, and there was no demonstration, but he was accustomed to do it every week. But the demonstration wasn't there because it wasn't his time. But when it became his time, God himself let everybody know, spoke with an audible voice right out of Jordan, said, this is my son, and said, it's sure. Look, everybody heard it. They knew it. The Father himself has no problems. When it comes time for your promotion, he'll let everybody know it. Even if he's got to come in and speak audibly, he'll let him know it's your time. Jesus himself's carrying. Well, a lot of times we get impatient with the things of God. Jesus himself was carrying salvation to the nations, yet he had to wait 30 years before that mantle came upon him. Say 30. But he was in there ministering every week. There's a difference when you're ministering and then the mantle comes on you. When God himself ordains you for that level. When he ordains you, nothing's ever going to stop that. Now all the people around him were too familiar and said, is this not Joseph's son? We've never heard any man speak like this. Yet they were relating to him in his humanity, even though that birth came right there in Nazareth. Nazareth was supposed to get that anointing. Nazareth was supposed to get that breakthrough and break out, and they rejected him. Do you remember? They took him to the brow of the hill. They were going to throw him off the hill. One of their own. He grew up with them. That was a small town. When the anointing comes, it stirs up a lot of devils. It stirs a lot of people up. It also stirs heaven up. You feel the stir of heaven when there's a shift coming. See, there was a God-ordained shift, and that mantle was going to birth one way or another. God sent him into Nazareth. He was going to send it there. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Nazareth is the place of birth. But it had to go to another city because they rejected it, because they saw him in his humanity and not in who he was under the anointing. Sometimes you get too familiar with somebody, you stop looking at the anointing and start looking at the person. You see that? And God had to shift that thing. He was going to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And when Nazareth rejected it, God, the Holy Spirit, sent him to Capernaum. And he brought everybody with him. He brought his family. They all went to Capernaum. I mean, they uprooted and went to Capernaum. And that's where God set up his government. That's where he set up his demonstration. Today, I want to share with you about the Capernaum inheritance. I want to share all that the Holy Spirit orchestrated during that time, and what God's going to divinely orchestrate for our cities, our communities, our nation, and the nations of the earth. The Holy Ghost knows how to divinely orchestrate. Only the Holy Ghost could do what was about to be done. Oh, hallelujah. And so look at verse 29. He says, they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into the brow of the hill wherein the city was built. They might cast him down headlong. I believe it's prophetic that I'm sharing this message with you today, because I believe we are entering into a season of demonstration. And though you can go 30 years and nothing happened, and all of a sudden, kabam, God sends you and says, it's time. Get down to the Jordan. Get baptized. It's time to be ordained. True ordination doesn't come from somebody's in the earth signing a little certificate. True ordination comes from heaven above. When it was come time for Peter's ordination, he threw himself out of the boat. You remember that? He did his own baptism, saw Jesus on the land. He cast himself in the sea. He come up out of the water, and Jesus ordained him right there. Dripping in water. Says, Peter, that's your baptism, brother. Ordain him, John chapter 21, ordain him right there up out of the water. When the heaven begins a report, nothing will stop the demonstrations of God's Spirit. He'll demonstrate in the financial arena, as we're going to see. He'll demonstrate with signs, miracles, and wonders. He'll demonstrate to every strata of society. When God sent him to Capernaum, he was headquartering. He was getting ready to headquarters ministry. Look at this. Verse 31, and he came down to Capernaum, the city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was filled with power. In Capernaum is the gospel of astonishment. In Nazareth, it's the gospel of familiarity. God is going to shift the body of Christ out of Nazareth setting, staleness, religious familiarity, and he's going to shift it into life, the liberty and power. And there's going to be astonishment again in the body of Christ. You're not going to walk up in the church with their arms lit up. What you got this Sunday? There is going to be some astonishment, because the Holy Ghost is going to demonstrate this gospel. He's going to do it. Don't even think God's going to lift his church up out of the earth until there is going to be some astonishment. He is going to demonstrate through his people once again. That's kind of what's wrong with the church right now. We do so much of what man can do. There's so little power flowing anywhere. So let's look at Capernaum. Go to John chapter 4. I want to cover the full panoramic spectrum of what happened in Capernaum. There was a lot happened in Capernaum, because this city is due for a Capernaum inheritance. This city is due for an inheritance of demonstration. Hallelujah. I believe we are shifting. We're coming up out of the wilderness. We've passed through the fire. We've passed through the water. Now it's time to be brought out into a wealthy place so we can follow the Holy Ghost and he can begin demonstrating the authority and power of the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Forever. John chapter 4, verse 46. First order of demonstration, the nobleman of Capernaum. Hallelujah. Nobleman. He was the chief of the political arena. Holy Ghost knows how to demonstrate in the political arena. He hasn't lost his touch. Our political arena in this nation needs a little demonstration. Whether you Democrat or Republican, independent, they all need some demonstration right now. They all need to be shaken down a little bit. They all a little too comfy doing what they do. Men get proud when they get in high places and forget there's a living God. But God knows how to demonstrate and get their attention. Amen. Verse 46, John chapter 4. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, and he made water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. You know, when things start happening to your family, you got to forget about your doctrine, what religion you're of. You find out somebody's got something flowing on him. He heard of Jesus. He says, I don't care what I believe. I don't care who I'm walking with. I'm going to go find this man. My son is sick, nigh unto death. And when he'd heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And he said unto him, now Jesus knew, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. See, there is a sect of people that you can talk to them all day long till you're blue in the face. You can argue religion. You can go down and break every scripture down, and they're still not going to believe because they're granite heads. They got granite between them and God. They can't get through it. They're trying. And see, it's going to take more than just a theological sermon. It's going to take some demonstration. He says, unless you see it, you're not going to believe. He told him straight up. He goes, you're of that kind because you're raised thinking the whole world is there to serve you. He was a nobleman. He was in the political arena. See, you're not going to believe. And he said, go thy way. Thy son liveth. And the man believed his word. One minute he wasn't believing. The next minute he was believing. That's the power that's in his words. The word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And when he coming down, his servants met him and told him, your son liveth. He goes, this stuff works. Then inquired he of them of the hour that he began to amend, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour. And the father knew it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed. See, that's when he really believed. He just acted like he believed when he told him, go thy way. He goes, okay, I believe you. But he's going, is it really going to happen? Is it really going to happen? And they come out and meet him. It really happened. And when he heard it, then he believed. Now, notice this. You can't miss all the little stuff. Amen. He and his whole house. Do you see that? Verse 53. He and his whole house. That was a nobleman's house. That's a political house. Those people were in power in the next generation, the generation after that. The nobleman, I mean, their whole house believed. Jesus just set in now. He's up in to the political arena of all Capernaum. He done got up in there with one miracle. The whole household, the noble house, now believes with a miracle. I guarantee if he taught him, go your way and nothing happened, that man wouldn't have believed nothing. You can't just preach to people all your life. There must be a demonstration. It affected him. It affected the house. They didn't even meet Jesus, but they all believed when they saw that miracle. That whole political household, every one of them believed. Now he's got the next generation. You know, the house of politics, they always reproduce themselves. You understand how politics works. Nobody likes to give up power, so if they're going to have to give it up, they like to give it up to their sons and their daughters, the whole house, the next generation saved. Give God glory. Hallelujah. Well, he wasn't finished. He's just getting started. Now he's got to go to the industry. the marketplace. Capernaum was located on the Sea of Galilee. Its chief industry was fishing and agriculture. Number one was fishing. That was his chief. In Capernaum was a highly sought out city, a very wealthy city. The Holy Ghost knew what he was doing, sending the Lord in there. And you remember, I'm going to exhort this one because we've done this plenty in the offerings. You remember when Peter and them, they were bringing their boats, Andrew, James, John, and Peter, they didn't caught nothing. It's hard to live in a city that's prospering and you're not catching anything. You know, in this city, you might not be prospering. There is a lot of people that are prospering. It's all about getting positioned. It's all about getting alignment. There'll be one person sitting in a chair and say, nothing's happening for me. And another person sitting in a chair, it's all happening for me. I guarantee you, Joanne could attest if she wanted to. There is plenty of people prospering in this city because she's their banker. She knows. Amen. This is still a prosperous city. You know, in fact, a lot of cities and states got high unemployment, but we're not being affected very much here. We still got a nice little covering over us. We got a nice glory sitting over us. Well, they come up in there. That was a prosperous city, but Peter, James, John, and Andrew weren't prospering. They come in there, men and they didn't caught anything. You remember when Jesus got up in their boat? This all happened in Capernaum, by the way. He got up, he preached to all of them, 5,000 people out of that boat. And after he preached in that boat, he said, let me use your business. Let me sit down in your business. Give me your business. You're not catching anything anyway. Some of you need to give God your business. You're too sitting up in your business, and the Lord's trying to sit up in your boat. He wants to get in there, and he wants to sit down. He wants to preach the gospel out of your business. You got to give that to him. You got to give him that place. It's just not about you. In fact, the quicker you realize you can't do it, sometimes it's good to labor and toil all night like Peter did. He toiled all night, caught nothing. Sometimes you got to toil all night before you're ready to give up something. Peter's like, you can have the boat. Not doing me any good. You see how that works? You got to get positioned like that. Sometime when you toil all night and you haven't caught any, now you're ready. You know, sometimes you got to go through a few things to let go. I had a hard time letting go. I had control issues. Nobody amen. But I did. God knows how to rip that stuff up out of you. He knows how to get you to toil. Let him toil. Send him out again. Send him out. I didn't catch anything. Send him back out. I didn't catch anything. Send him back out. I didn't catch anything. Send him out again. You get sent out about 1,000 times. You're like, I don't care anymore. Let the boat sit there. It's your boat. Oh, that's right. Now here comes the Lord. He goes, now it's my boat. Let me come sit down in there. I just needed you to give me your boat. Launched him out into the deep. There was such a catch of fish when he said, launch it on the right side. When he did that catch, it filled their boat, filled Andrew's boat. The boat was filled to the brim with fish. And Peter said, oh my God, I have never seen anything like this. You know what? He fell down on the fish. It said he fell down on his knees. He was standing in fish. They're out in the high seas. Fell down prostrate on the fish. Says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. I've never seen anything like this. Because he knew he was looking at 3.5 years of provision in one catch. Has God ever given you enough to send you 3.5 years up in front of you? We're trying to operate in our ears. When Jesus gets in your boat, and when there's demonstration in Capernaum, he'll move you. He'll move 3.5 years of provision your way. Why? Because when they went to shore, every one of them left what they were doing and followed him. They look at that, my fishing, him, me, him, I'm going with you. They got him up in that boat. And when he did that, God gave them in one catch, all four of them, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, 3.5 years of provision when they sent them out. He says, now follow me. Everything was paid for 3.5 years, one catch. Is that demonstration or what? How are you going to get four men to leave their industry just like that? You know how they left? They saw that. They saw that demonstration, and they had never seen anything like that before. And they followed just like that. Now, if you remember, they were preaching to 5,000 people. When they come back on the shoreline, what do you think the 5,000 were? Well, they went out. He's coming back. Let's just wait here for him. When they come back, it's a fishing town. Everybody hangs out at the harbor. They come back with all the fish. Everybody's looking at that catch, and they see their fishermen go and follow him. The whole city's industry now is looking at the Lord and said, oh my God, who is this? What has come upon our city? The nobleman now the fishing industry. And God said, I'm just getting started. Say, I'm just getting started. What's next? Everyone look at your neighbor and say, what's next? Go to Mark chapter 1. I want you to see this one. Powerful. Mark chapter 1, 21. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue. Do you know who built that synagogue? You know who the head was? Watch how the Holy Ghost says, the head of the synagogue was Jairus. Remember Jairus? Well, we just throw Jairus right now. You remember what happened with Jairus' daughter? You remember she was dead? She actually died. You remember he came into the house, they were all laughing to the Lord, and he said, get him out of the house, get all that unbelief out of the house. That was Jairus. He was the head of this synagogue he walked into. That was the man whose daughter raised from the dead, the head of the synagogue. The Lord had to go to him and say, listen, I know you've been my spokesperson, but there's a new sheriff in town. And I have the word of the Father, and I'm going to show you what the Father's really like. I'm not just going to tell you the Father loves you, your daughter. He said, get them all out of the house. He goes, Jairus, come in here with me. I want you to see this. You're the head of the synagogue of this city, and we're here to demonstrate. And he brings Jairus into where his daughter is dead now, and he raises her from the dead, right in front of Jairus. And Jairus, could you imagine? He grew up in religion. He grew up in all that, and he's looking at that and said, oh my God. I mean, he's the one that's actually supposed to be doing this. And the Lord's having to show him, this is what your priesthood is really about, Jairus. This is why you were set as the head of the synagogue. This is what you're supposed to look like. This is what you're going to look like now. This is where you're shifting. We're shifting, Jairus, and come in here and I'm going to show you. We're shifting. We're going to raise the dead now. The dead will be raised. He goes in and says, daughter, arise. And it says they were astonished beyond astonishment. There's the gospel astonishment, and then there's astonished beyond astonishment. Have anybody been astonished beyond astonishment any lately? That's what we need again. We need to be astonished beyond astonishment. The head of the synagogue, imagine what Jairus is next. Staff meeting looked like. Said, gather around all your staff. Come here. All you leaders, children's church pastor, youth pastor. We're going to do everything different now. I done seen the light. He done walked up in my room and he raised my daughter from the dead. Everything's changing now. Everything we preach, the way we do things, we're going to follow that man. That synagogue became Mecca. Isn't that powerful? Only the Holy Ghost could demonstrate that. Well, Jesus walked up into Jairus' synagogue, and it was a man with an unclean spirit there. First time he did that, and that spirit come up in the presence of that anointing, and boy, it started manifesting. You might as well not get too comfortable in your nice religious chairs, because I'm telling you, when the power of God starts manifesting and the power of God starts growing and developing, devils, they've been hanging out in the religious circles for a long time, meeting that power, they'll start screaming. They will start screaming. That one started convulsing. And Jesus said, come out of the man, unclean spirit, right there in the middle of the synagogue. This disrupted the whole service. They said, what is this? What is this? He went to the fishing industry. He went to the political arena. Now he walked right up into Jairus' synagogue. He raised Jairus' daughter from dead, walked up into his synagogue and showed everybody, this is what the synagogue's about now. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach deliverance to the captive. To heal the broken and the hearted. To set at liberty them that are bruised. That's what this temple is supposed to be about. He didn't come and tell them. He showed them. Gospel demonstration. 30 years he preached in Nazareth. Not one demonstration. But when that anointing come upon him. Booyah. Right after that, you know what they did? Went right over to Peter's house with his mother was sick. And she says, you know, that's not going to do. I saw this in a vision. I saw him do this. I meditated it so long. He took his hand and went like this. He stood over her. And just like that, he said, woman, arise like that. I saw him do it in the spirit. And that fever broke immediately. You know, with God, you don't lay up in bed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. No Campbell's soup, none of that. No Z-packs, steroid shots, none of that. With God, it's arise, get up, fever, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get up, arise, say get up, arise. Boy, she arose and said, I am ready to go. What you need me to do for you now? They had a revival at the doorstep. Now that they got into the temple, now he's going to show them the whole city. Watch this. You got to see this. Mark 1, verse 31. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left. Say immediately. Immediately. I like the immediately. And at evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. Say all. In Capernaum. The whole city come to the door. You know, there is a way to build, and then there is a way to build. You don't have to build anything if that stuff's flowing. They'll come to you. They will come to you. It was effortless. There was no advertising. There was no trying to build anything. They all come to the door. Listen, the needs of humanity are great. Look what he did here. Brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that possessed with devils, and all the city. Look, verse 33. Man, he was ready to go. All the city was gathered together at the door. Say, all the city gathered at Peter's door. Done come to his house. The whole city came out. He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. Suffered not the devils to speak. And in the morning, look at this. This was profound when the Lord showed me this. In the morning, say in the morning, rising up a great while before day. What time does the sun come up? 7. Well, if it's a great while, it's going to be 4. About 4 in the morning, right? The 4 in the morning. 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Watch what happens. Rising up at 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed him. Do you know what it takes to get disciples to follow you at 3, 4, 5 in the morning? It's one thing for you to do it. Do you know what it takes to get somebody else to go with you? Hey, we're going to go pray. I've had a lot of early morning prayer meetings. Not many people show up. And we start at 7, 8. They all followed him. That's what happened when the anointing's flowing. You follow him up in there. I'm going with you. I am with you. I am with you. Look what happened. They went out, departed. Simon and they that were with him followed him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, now this is early, early hours in the morning. All men are seeking for you. The whole city is looking for you right now. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. The whole city's out. Say the whole city. Nobody slept that night. They had never seen anything like that. They never experienced anything like that. The visitation of God was on their city, and everybody was awake, said, "Where is he?" Because every single person who got healed or delivered, they went home and found everybody else that needed healing and deliverance. And they got, every one of them's got somebody in their arms, and they're bringing them with them. You think the big crowd at Peter's house is one thing. Wait till everybody found him. Here's how Jesus built his ministry, ran into the house and said, "Tell nobody I'm here." That's what he did. He ran into the house and said, "Don't tell anybody I'm in here." The disciples, before they were apostles, they were called to crowd control. That's what they did most of the time. Crowd control. Bouncers. Jesus said, "You got the bouncer ministry." He said, "Before you're a mighty apostle, you're going to be the bouncer." Crowd control. So what do we have? Noblemen of Capernaum. Jairus, head of the synagogue of Capernaum. His daughter gets raised from the dead. He walks into the Capernaum synagogue and casts out the devil. Goes to Peter's house and has a citywide revival in Capernaum. At 5 o'clock in the morning, the whole city comes out to meet him. Booyah. And the fishing industry, remember, took him out in Capernaum, manifested his glory. That was a financial manifestation, a financial demonstration that paid for 3.5 years up front so they could all follow him. God knows how to put 100 years up in front of you. I'm believing for generational inheritance. There's blessing and there's generational inheritance. We are sitting upon a time of generational inheritance where God will release up in front of you generational wealth. He'll release it in the front, not in the rears. Who said that we have to preach this gospel in the rears all the time? Always got to be just stringing along, stringing along, stringing along. There can be generational inheritance like Moses. God gave him so much. Moses said, "Stop! Stop the offering. That's enough. We got more than we can do right now." They would say, "Stop. We got enough." What happened with David? Oh, you're going to like this one. Go to Luke chapter 5. So we've got the religious system, political system, the financial industry had a revival in Capernaum. But he's not through. He's got to go to the IRS still. He does. He went to the IRS twice. Did you know that? Jesus went to the IRS twice. Demonstrated twice to them. But you didn't know that, did you? Y'all want to see that? Then he went to the military and chief of police, had to testify to them too. Go to Luke chapter 5. Now, all of you are familiar. While we're on the way to Luke chapter 5, I'll just go ahead and give you the chief of police or the chief of military. See, the military, they got to have their testimony too. You remember the centurion? You know what a centurion is? Centurion, century, 100. He's over 100 soldiers. He's been given a garrison of 100 soldiers. He is the chief of police of all Capernaum. He's the one that built Jairus' synagogue. You already know Jairus called him and said, "I got to tell you about this man that's up in our city. He done healed my daughter and raised her from the dead." Then he went over to this dude named Peter's house, had a big old revival. You know, the one that never catches any fish? Yeah, well, he's blessed now. He's a blessed man of God. And he's casting out devils in the middle of my synagogue. He's changed everything. You built the synagogue, I got to tell you. And then the centurion goes, "Well, you know, I got a servant. He's like a son to me. He's like a son to me." See, they all went to him and said, "This man's worthy, Lord. You need to do it. He built the temple. He's worthy." And the Lord said, I'll go. He's on his way. And the centurion said, I already know authority. I understand authority. I'd already heard about you anyway. Man, if you can bless a guy like Peter, I already know I'm going to be blessed. And besides, Jairus has done told me you raised his daughter from the dead. That is plenty enough for me. I like Jairus. Me and him have been buds. I built the synagogue. And it sounds to me like you're changing the way they're going to do ministry from here on out. That's what he does. Get ready for change. Don't ever get stuck in your ways, because God will come and blow you up out of the saddle. When demonstration comes, the one thing is you're not in control. He's in control. That's why you got to get all the control issues out. So get them out. Get them out. Get them out. Generally, when God comes to you, there's not going to be a whole lot left. like Moses, God, I can't even talk. Moses had a lot before God started with him. He took matters in his own hands, slayed that Egyptian. God said, oh, we got a long way. I said, Lord, it's taken a long time. He told me the other day in the prayer call, I said, Lord, it's taking me a long time here. He goes, it took Moses twice the time it's taking you. So just relax. That's what he told me. He goes, Moses, it took me 40 years with him. I said, well, I'm going on 25 now. He goes, well, you're not on 40 yet. I said, well, that's good news. Hallelujah. That centurion said, hey, speak the word only. I already know, heard about you, and I am a man under authority, and I know how it works, and you got authority. Just speak the word. You don't have to come up my house. He knew what it would take if he come up in his house, cause a major disruption. He said, no, just speak the word. And that man's servant was healed, and the centurion's whole household was saved. It said all of them. Say all of them. What do you think the centurion did? He called all of his police officers or his military garrison, and he had a meeting. He said, now, you all are under authority, and every one of you are going to know the one I serve. We're under his authority now. I'm saved. You're all going to get saved now. See how that works? None of that would be happening without demonstration. He was the chief of police in the city of Capernaum. You got politics, you got business, you got religion, you got police, and he's still not done. Now he's got to go get the lawyers. Man, they're the hard ones. They're the tough ones. They're the ones who want to argue everything. They're all up in their head. Jesus knows how to deal with the lawyers too. You got to get all the lawyers up in the house. Y'all want to see that? I want to show you this one. Go over to Luke chapter 5. So we've got now the centurion, he gets saved. All his 100 soldiers are saved. That whole city is in good shape. Got the nobleman saved. They all conglomerate together. You understand how that works? Everybody's talking at this point. Holy Ghost is orchestrating everything. Oh, I want a Capernaum inheritance in this city. I want a Capernaum inheritance. I want to come up out of Nazareth. Everyone said, God, get me out of Nazareth. Get me into Capernaum. Get me into Capernaum! Whew. You might see a few devils manifesting, but I can handle the devils manifesting. Hallelujah. People in authority, I'm going to tell you what, it's because they got a high place. When things go wrong around them, they start listening to the gospel. Amen. Now watch this. Now the lawyers. Verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day, Luke 5:17, he was teaching, and there were Pharisees, and doctors of the law. Say doctors of the law. We got Pharisees, we got the religious, and doctors of the law. And we're coming out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And now he's starting to draw them all. He's drawing them all in. They're in Capernaum. They're in Peter's house. He doesn't set up shop in Peter's house. They're all packed in there. They're so packed in there. Mary wants in. She, I'm his mama. Get me in there. There's no room, mama. And behold, now look at this. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. They jammed the house, and they had a paraplegic man on a bed. You remember? They couldn't get him through the door. They climbed up on the house, brought that man on the rooftop, and ripped the roof off the house. They lowered him down through the roof. You have doctors and lawyers and Pharisees from all the surrounding towns. They're all up in there, and Jesus, he says, I'm going to take this time to demonstrate. Because he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. He said, who can forgive sin but God? They're all upset. And he looks around the room. He's got this paraplegic man, hadn't walked. His whole life is confined to a bed, and they're worried about doctrinal issues. He said, what's easier? Let it be that easy, Lord. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? Right now, it's a lot easier to lead somebody to the Lord, which is the greater miracle, because their spirit passes from death to life. But one day, soon, very soon, which is easier? Say, your sins are forgiven you, call upon the name of the Lord, or rise up and walk. There's coming a day in the body of Christ, both will be equally easy. Which is easier? With him, it was the same. That's where we got to get. Everyone say, God, get me there. God, get me there. Get me there. He looked around. He looked at that man. He said, man, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And I mean, they were astonished. That'll mess your doctrine up something fierce right there. That'll mess up your head. That'll mess up every religious thought you ever had about God, sitting up in a dead sanctuary all your life, listening to a dead sermon, and all of a sudden life shows up right up in the living room. They lower a man. They take the roof off the house, lower him down, and he stands up. He's walking around. They said, oh, my God. Don't you know every one of them got on their cell phone and called everybody they knew? They started texting right there. Everybody knew what happened. The political arena knew what was going on. The marketplace knew what was going on. The religious arena knew what was going on. The chief of police knew what was going on. The lawyers knew what was going on. Go to the IRS now. Hey, you know the IRS needs some testifying. Can I get a witness? Okay, we'll leave the last one for the IRS. Wouldn't you like the IRS to be testified to? We need the IRS to be testified to. Go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to close with the IRS. Hallelujah. Some of you need to pay some back taxes. We need to go from Nazareth to Capernaum to get some back taxes paid. Isn't that good? Incredible what he did. Aren't you glad he wasn't in Nazareth? Do we need to get out of Nazareth or what? Luke 5, verse 27, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, otherwise known as Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. Do you know what that means? He collected taxes. He said unto him, follow me. Now you have to realize there was a little bit more than him walking up to Matthew. Matthew was sitting at the receipt of customs when Peter, James, John, and Andrew brought 3.5 years of fish and said, man, I've been knowing you guys a long time. Y'all never caught that much in your whole lifetime, much less one time out. He goes, taxes. He saw that. Everybody knew about him. But Jesus said, how'd you like to follow me, Matthew? Follow me. He saw and heard. He looked at taxes. God, I'm going with him. He already seen it. Now, somebody had to take Matthew's place. Somebody was probably waiting in line. He already probably had a protege. Just take my place. It's all yours, buddy. Here you go. Go to Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Matthew 17, verse 24. You ready? And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money, Matthew's protege, the one that took Matthew's place, came to Peter. Does your master pay taxes? You know why they wanted to know? Because there was some serious wealth coming up in that ministry. Think they're giving the ministries a hard time then. You know what kind of offerings? You know who followed him around? The chief steward of Herod, Susanna, was his wife. She followed him around and was giving him offerings. He was Herod's chief steward. They're watching all the stuff going up on the high seas, all this stuff coming around, and that man said, we got to get in on some of this. That man's got something on him. We need our fair share. You know, the tax man showing up. We need our fair share. They don't already heard what's going on with him. You can't have that kind of following going on and that kind of money and wealth flowing up around you. The IRS not going to come check you out. Tax man shows up. Now, Peter, he's flipped out about it because he's been owing taxes all his life because he never caught anything. So he was in arrears all the time. And he said, yes. Peter said, yes, yes, of course. Answered for him. But then he had to go tell Jesus. He's all panicked now. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him. He said, stop, Peter, stop. Because Peter didn't come in there. Oh, can Peter go? Oh, my God, the tax man's at the door. The tax man's at the door. I've had a lot of experience with that guy. I spent years before I ever met you. Never catch anything. And he always up at my door. He's coming. He's here. And Jesus, stop. Everyone say, stop. Some things you don't need to let up into your environment. See, just stop right there. I got it. Jesus said, I got it. I got it. Peter, I got it. He wasn't going to let that spirit get up on him. Jesus prevented him saying, Peter, Peter, sit down. Peter's going, sit down. Peter's done already had a million calculations in his head how they're going to pay taxes for all the monies up in Jesus' ministry. Peter said unto him, Jesus, what thinkest thou, Simon? Whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or strangers? Peter said, of strangers. Jesus said, then are the children free? Really, Jesus, Son of God, he said, I don't have to pay these, but I'm going to pay them out of righteousness. I'm the Son of the Father who owns all things. But lest we offend them, he could have got it out of the money bag. But since they had to come up into him like that, he had to take the time to demonstrate even to the IRS that I know how to pay taxes. Said, Peter, can you imagine this instruction? Because this was just as much for Peter as everybody else. Because he's going to send Peter fishing. He said, go fishing, Peter. We're going to pay it from your... Jesus knew exactly what to do. We're going to take it from your marketplace ministry, Peter. Fishing's what you do, isn't it? But we're going to do a different kind of fishing. He goes up in there. He says, the first fish you catch... Just lift him up out of the water. Now, the tax man's standing right in front of him. And Peter is still panicked. How are we going to do this? Could you imagine Peter having to carry this instruction out? I imagine one of the disciples went with him. He goes, could you believe he told me to go fishing? I'm going to catch a fish and there's going to be a gold coin in the mouth. I have to actually do this. Because it's part of my responsibility to follow him. You know, the whole time he's eating nothing coming up out of this water. He cast the hook in the line. He probably waiting 3 minutes on it. Got a worm on the hook. I don't know how he did it. He got a worm on the hook. Yeah. Fish going to come up and it's going to be a gold coin enough to pay all the taxes for the master. Because they says, does your master pay taxes? That was a mighty gold coin. That fish come up, looked up in his mouth. How'd you like to be Peter? Ran straight to that man. Look, right here, all along. Does my master pay taxes? Look, right here. Right here. Check it out. Check it out. This is who I serve. Uh-huh. You know, the whole time he went there, he's like this. He's complaining, murmuring, going up in there. I cannot believe I'm going fishing on tax day. Boy, he come out there, his chest was like that. Yeah, I knew it all along. That's the God I serve, uh-huh. Would you like to know him? The IRS was having problems at this point because I can guarantee you the guy that took Matthew's place just left all. IRS, I have a new way of collecting taxes. I'm going to follow this man, get somebody else. At that point, the IRS is going, what is going on in this city? I can't keep somebody in charge. Let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Follow. Nazareth to Capernaum. Let the shift. Let us shift, Lord. Let us shift. Let us move. Let us move. Let us move, Lord. Let us move. Set your demonstration upon us. Bring us through the fire. You brought us through the waters. Now we are your beloved sons and daughters, carrying the word of the right hand of God. Let there be demonstration in the marketplace. Let there be demonstration in the political arenas. Let there be demonstration to the religious church of this city. Let there be demonstration to the police and the military garrisons. Let there be demonstration to the IRS. Let there be a citywide revival. Let the river flow.